Hello, and welcome to Sovereign Grace Assembly's Elders Corner. I know I normally do this on a Monday or Tuesday, or one of us does it on a Monday or Tuesday, to be exact. Been a busy week, hectic week, an emotional week. I did share a video on my personal page on Monday, and I wanted to kind of piggyback on that one today. A week ago, I began what may or may not be a series on the end times, coming to you from Matthew chapter 24. Given the events that have transpired since that post, and then the events that occurred prior to Monday's post on my personal page, I wanted to share more on the end times, specifically with regard to Jesus' return. If you read Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, those are both very short books written in real close proximity to one another, practically on top of one another. You cannot walk away from those letters without recognizing that the issue at hand is concern over the Lord's return. The people of Thessalonica, specifically the congregation of Thessalonica, felt, believed, were convinced that the Lord's return was right on top of them. It was imminent. It was going to happen any day. Created a, to use a big theological word, it created an over-realized eschatology within the church of Thessalonica. And so Paul writes his letter because there's a number of practical applications. There's a number of things that resulted from their thinking with regard to the Lord's return. For example, one of those was there was some within the church that just stopped working. They felt like, well, if the Lord's going to return at any day, why should we work? And Paul says very plainly to him, if a man will not work, he will not eat. The Lord's return is not an excuse toward laziness. There was another concern with regard to those who had died. And Paul very clearly addresses that issue. He says, those who are asleep in Jesus, those who have passed from this life into glory, they will not miss the Lord's return. We will be caught up into the heavens with them. Now, when we think, too oftentimes when we think of heaven, when we think of eschatology, when we think of the afterlife, too oftentimes we have this spiritist, over-spiritualized view in which we're just sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. We're nothing more than a spirit. We're able to easily move through solid matter without any concern. But that's not a biblical understanding. If you look in the text of the Bible, specifically the New Testament, you see that we will have physical bodies. Paul specifically says there in the Thessalonian letters that those who are asleep in Jesus, that we will not precede them, that the trump will sound, the archangel will shout, Jesus will come in the clouds, and what next? But the dead in Jesus will be caught up in the air first, and then we will join them. Well, what is that? Because elsewhere in Paul's letters, he talks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, if we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, that means our spirits are already with Jesus when we pass from this life
into eternity. We, as conservative Bible-believing Christians, do not believe in a doctrine of soul sleep. We don't believe that your spirit's going to be locked up in your body until the end of time, and your spirit's going to ascend, but your body remains in the ground, continuing to decompose. We believe that the moment you close your eyes, the moment you take your last breath on this side of eternity, that you will open your eyes instantaneously. You will take your first breath instantaneously in glory. And that when the Lord returns, and we could get into exactly the timing of that, we could get into the whole pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, post-mill, pre-mill, all-mill debate, but that's for another day, another time. Regardless of where you stand, whether you're an all-millennialist, a post-millennialist, or a premillennialist, every single one of those views holds that the Lord will return visibly, literally, and bodily. So when the Lord returns, regardless of when that is, our spirits, for those who have already gone unto the Lord with Him, will return with Him. Their bodies will be resurrected just as Jesus was resurrected. Why is it that we as Bible-believing Christians, we have no doubt in our mind that Jesus resurrected bodily, physically, literally, but we have a hard time believing that we will be resurrected? He died so that we could die. He lives so that we can live. When Jesus gave up the ghost, when Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," breathing his last, the Roman soldiers, recognizing he's already dead, thrust a spear into his side, blood and water flows. He was dead. His body was lifeless. His body was laying in a grave for 3 days. But on that third day, Jesus was resurrected. Jesus' physical body was resurrected from the grave. The women who came to the tomb were clinging to him. You can't cling to a ghost. You can't cling to a spirit. Thomas was told, "Put your finger where the nails pierced my hands. Put your hand where the spear pierced my side." You can't do that to a ghost. You can't do that to a spirit. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said those who sleep in Jesus will be caught up in the air with him. Their bodies will be resurrected just as his body was resurrected the third day. If we're going to believe in resurrection, yes, absolutely, means believing in the physical, visible, bodily resurrection of Jesus. But by extension, it absolutely includes the visible, physical, literal resurrection of your body and mine as believers, being caught up with him in the clouds, living, reigning with him for all eternity. Beloved, as I sit here in the parking lot, of a funeral home, awaiting visitation with a family who's going to be laying to rest a precious saint of God tomorrow. My heart goes out to this family, and my heart goes out to each person watching this broadcast. Because I continue to come back to the words that Paul told those Thessalonian Christians, that you and me don't sorrow as those without hope. This family who grieves the loss of a mother and sister and daughter and aunt and wife does not grieve as the rest of this world grieves. For this precious lady was a dear saint of God. She loved the gospel of Jesus Christ. She knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she hungered for His word. She hungered for His word, and that hunger moved her, motivated her unto good works. Good works that were prepared for her from the foundation of the earth. Her work here is done. She moves into glory, where she'll be singing with that heavenly choir, Alleluia, Amen. Beloved, what's your view of death? What's your view of sorrow and grief? Are you paralyzed? Are you fearful? Are you lacking hope? Or are you trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting in His finished work? Knowing that death is not the end. Knowing that this life is not the totality of your existence. But knowing that you are a special creation of the one true and living God who called you, who loved you, who predestined you to be conformed in His image, to be shaped by the gospel, by the story of His revealing of Himself to you and to me. Beloved, if you're watching and you're frightened by death, if you're watching and you're overwhelmed with sorrow and grief, then I urge you, I call upon you to examine your heart. Are you living in rebellion? Or are you living in faith? Paul said in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In what are you depending? In what are you trusting? Are you trusting in your own works, or are you trusting in His finished work? I give you the invitation now. If you'd like to talk more, please leave a comment or private message us, and we will talk more about what it means to be converted, what it means to be regenerated, what it means to be transformed out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You. We thank You for Your grace. Your grace that gives us far more than we could ever hope or imagine or think. Your grace that gives us undeserved merit. Your grace that gives us a second chance. Lord, we pray that each of us, whether broadcasting or watching this broadcast, would examine our own hearts. To see whether we are living according to Your word. Or if perhaps we might be living according to our own words and actions and thoughts. Lord, we know that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is judgment. Our human hearts are fickle. Our human hearts are easily deceived. So, Lord, examine our hearts. Reveal Your truth. Call us into fellowship or into deeper fellowship with Yourself. In Your name we pray. Amen. Beloved, don't forget, this Sunday we will be on Facebook Live at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Assembly on this very page. If you'd like to check us out in person, we do have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30. Message one of us and we will get you the location and directions. And you can attend with us. Elder Eric Hampton will be wrapping up our discussion of the article on divine providence from the 1689 London, Second London Confession. And then during worship, I will be preaching from Job chapter 8. As we continue the series, Understanding Suffering and Service. Until then, go and serve your King.